Newfound Gold has discovered what some are billing as potentially Canada's most significant discovery in the last decade. Hole NFGC-01 revealed 19 meters at 93 grams per ton, starting at only 96 meters downhole. With over $70 million in working capital, Newfound Gold is well-positioned for what the future brings. To learn more, find us online at newfoundgold.ca.
Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. We're recording on Friday, August 14th at market close. I've got my good friend and longtime interviewee, Jordan Roy Byrne, back on the program with us. Jordan is the publisher of thedailygold.com. Jordan, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Colin. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you put out a precious metals market update on Palisade Radio back on August 4th. You titled it "Hot Gold Stocks Will Cool Off in August." And that was just a couple days before we had a pretty big sell-off in the price of gold, the price of silver. I'm actually curious to ask you, and we'll talk about it in this interview, but how the stocks have reacted, not necessarily how people would have imagined during a sell-off. But anyway, let's start there. Tell us what's happened and what's to come in the weeks and months ahead, in your opinion.
Well, what happened is we were kind of leading up to that sell-off. I mean, roughly 2 weeks ago or so, I started noticing basically there were several things that were going on. We had breadth indicators that were reaching extreme overbought territory. I mean, I look at the percentage of QE stocks and GDXJ stocks that are above various moving averages. All those things were 95 to 100%. And that was a couple of weeks ago. And then they stayed in that area. So, I mean, when you hit those levels, it's not necessarily an immediate sell signal, but when you hit those extreme levels, then you remain there for days and days. That's when it gets to be a little bit of a worry. Also, GDX and GDXJ, they hit, was a huge gap up. And I think that was the peak that we had in the miners. And that huge gap up, GDXJ hit 65, GDX hit 45 or so above those levels. So there was strong Fibonacci resistance targets at those prices, or, you know, within a dollar or so. So that combination. And then even after that point, when I published the video, the days before that point, the miners were really lagging the metals. If you look at the last couple of weeks, the really only strong days that the miners had before they peaked was there was a day when gold went above 1900, miners had a big move, and then there was the day gold went above 2000, miners gapped up and had that big move. And so other than those 2 days, the miners were really weak most of the time. So given all that, you know, I was fairly confident a correction was coming. We got the correction. And, you know, now what I'm looking at, Colin, is I'm looking at some levels. I mean, a couple days ago, GDX got as low as the high 38s. And, I mean, if you look, simple technical analysis tells you around 37, that's a support target. And then GDXJ came down to 55. It's been very strong, but it has really strong support around 51. So we had a sharp sell-off to begin with. And in the last couple days, we've been bouncing a little bit. So I think this bounce, and we've seen it in the metals as well. I don't think this bounce is going back to new highs. I think this is just kind of a counter trend move within this correction. So for me, I think of the days and weeks ahead, we're going to see more selling. But, you know, the good news is when I compare these corrections to the past, corrections in bull markets, Colin, most of the damage in price is usually done in the first couple weeks. And then what happens is after that, the miners kind of chop around and you build a base for a couple months before they resume higher. So I think that's where we are right now.
I follow the micro caps and the juniors more specifically, whereas you follow the micro caps and the juniors, but also you're paying a lot of attention as well to the mid tiers and the majors. Can you talk about how the micro caps have responded? Like, in my view, aside from a select few of them, you know, overall, quite a few of them didn't have the move that one would expect when seeing gold break out to new all-time highs, and therefore how a pullback might affect, say, the GDXJ and GDX different than it might affect the very, very small companies.
Yeah, that's a very interesting observation, because there's a couple of places I want to take that. First, I would say that we talked about this in months and months past, so I felt that we wouldn't start to see speculation really increase until we saw GDXJ surge above the 2016 resistance and perhaps gold go above 1900. So I think those things have happened. We've started to see speculation in the juniors. The ones that have not moved that much lately I think they will really start to move probably after this correction is over. We get the next leg higher. That's when really you're not going to be able to find anything cheap anymore. I mean, this correction, on the whole, it could be one of the last chances to get things relatively cheap before everything gets a little expensive. But the other point I wanted to make is, even though we've corrected in recent days and we've seen, you know, gold, I mean, gold has bounced, but it lost $200 in less than 4 days, which is fine after the move it had. But even though we're in a correction, a lot of the micro caps and smaller juniors, they haven't necessarily corrected that much. One of my portfolios, the portfolio I manage for our service, yesterday, Thursday, that closed, and it was really close to an all-time high. So when you get this correction in the sector, various micro caps and smaller juniors, they can act differently. I mean, if something is not that overbought and it has really good drill results, I mean, it can still move higher. I mean, if there are things that have gone parabolic, those things are probably going to correct with the sector. So you have to look at it, when you're looking at juniors and smaller companies, you know, everything is different. And this is something that actually happened in 2009. I'm seeing a lot of similarities to that. I know we'll get into that, but it's interesting because when gold rebounded late 2008, then early 2009, I think in February, it got up to $1,000 back to the old high, and then it corrected. And during that correction, GDXJ, I mean, the correction in gold was actually longer than it was in the miners. So the miners actually started outperforming gold before gold had even broken through 1,000. And GDXJ actually had a softer correction than GDX. And that was the time when actually the venture index really started to push higher. So the thing is, even though we're having a correction, Colin, I mean, let's say gold has a floor at, you know, 1760 or 1800, silver has a floor at 21 now, or maybe a little bit lower. Those are still really, really good prices for the entire sector, even the companies with marginal or mediocre projects. And that could be why they're not correcting as much in this correction. I mean, the silver stocks, I don't think they really priced in more than $23 or $24 silver. Same thing with gold. I don't think most of the stocks really priced in much more than $1,900 gold. So even though we're going to get this correction and probably get more selling, if you have floors in gold around $1,800, maybe a little bit below, and silver around $21, those are really good prices for the entire industry. And again, those are even really good prices for the marginal and mediocre projects out there. So this correction, it's really nothing to worry about. It's very healthy. It's going to wean out some of the excess in the market. And I'm looking forward to it. And also, there's a lot, as you probably know, Colin, there's a lot of newbies who've come into the sector. And we don't want them to come in and chase everything and buy at the highs, because they're going to get discouraged when there's a correction. I mean, if you're a newbie in a bull market, you want to buy and hold. You buy weakness and you hold. A couple weeks ago, not the time to buy. A week or two from now, it could be the time to buy, because prices for a lot of these things are going to be lower than where they were a couple weeks ago. So correction, nothing to worry about. It's going to be an opportunity for everybody.
Jordan, I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago. You might have seen it. And I discussed how bull markets are designed in such a way to buck as many investors off the market along the way. And I made the point that if that's the case for a normal bull market, gold and silver bull markets are far more volatile and extreme. And I've been seeing people saying crazy things, like talking about, is this move in gold over? And my initial reaction is, guys, we've waited years for this. We're 5 months into a move. Yes, it's extreme, but it's important to understand that this is how these things go. And that's why I like talking to you, because you look back and you say, what happened the last time, or what happened the last five times that we had a bull market? The psychology of these things and knowing how they play out is important. So I want to catch up with you on that specifically. What is this lining up with in the past? And, you know, what does it tell us about what's coming in the future?
Well, in a very short-term sense, we seem to be following the 2008-2009 rebound. So in like a 6 to 12 month or 18 month sense, that's what we're following. Now, if we back out a little bit in a cyclical 3 to 5 year sense, the comparisons would be, you could have the early 1930s, also the early 1960s, and the early 2000s. So those three are really the best cyclical comparisons from where we are, and I'll run through them really quickly. If you go back to the Great Depression, gold stocks basically performed really well and led the market until early 1936. I mean, that was 2 or 3 years after the economy even bottomed. I mean, gold stocks, they had a really strong run after the initial crash. I mean, a 6-7 year run. And if you go back to the 1960s, gold stocks were in a bull market from 1960 to 1968. I think from a bird's eye view, the 1960s are the very best comparison to where we are today. So again, gold stocks, they had a 7-8 year run without a bear market during that time. If you look at the 2000s, they had a really strong, again, like a 7-year run before there was a real serious bear market. I mean, there were serious corrections along the way, but it's an important point to make, Colin, because when you look at these comparisons, specifically during the Great Depression, the early 2000s, the gold stocks in the bull market in precious metals, the cyclical bull market, it continued for several years, even after the economy bottomed. So if we get a bottom in the economy next year, things look better, the virus goes away, people have saved lots of money. I mean, we're going to have a huge inflationary recovery. And you'll hear people saying, oh, well, the economy's going to recover and sell your gold. No, that's dead wrong. Because if you look what happened in the early 2000s, in the early 1930s, this sector continued to do really well for multiple years after the economy bottomed. And that was the case in 08 to 11. I mean, it did well for another 2+ years after the economy bottomed. But this time around, it could be another 3 or 4 years. So when I'm looking at the big picture, my huge picture view, Colin, as you know, is we've started, or several years ago, we started what's going to be a 15 or 20 year bull market. Now, there's going to be a lot of bear market, not a lot, but there could be 2 or 3 bear markets in there. But so we're at the beginning of something that lasts for 20 years. Now, that's important if you're accumulating metal, which you should be doing every month, just buy a little bit. Now, for juniors and the things that we participate in, you know, those are a 1 to 2 year, maybe a 3 to 4 year time horizon in many cases. So that's what we should be focused on. What's the outlook for the next year or two and the outlook for this cycle? As you know, I put out a report to my premium subscribers. I'll just mention it here. Given everything I'm looking at, I think this bull market is probably going to, if you had to nail me down, I think it has another 4 years. Might be a little longer, might be a little less, but that's a good guess. Another 4 years. So where we are here and now, I mean, I'm really encouraged about where we're going. And the last point in this really long answer, Colin, if you look at the huge breakouts that we've just had in recent months in GDX and GDXJ, let me discuss GDXJ. GDXJ is trading at about 58, a little bit below right now as I'm looking at my screen. The major breakout was past 50 or 51. I mean, that was 7-year resistance. The measured upside target for that, which is very predictable, is in the low 80s. Call it 82, 83. So based on that 7-year breakout, Colin, I mean, there is a lot of upside left for GDXJ in this move over the next 6 to 12 months. And last point is, Colin, when you have a breakout of, you know, 7-year resistance like we just had, that's a move that gets going and it continues. I mean, this move is going to continue even after we hit those measured upside targets. So, I mean, I'm not a permabull, Colin. It may sound like it here, but that's the outlook that we have. I mean, we have an opportunity over the next couple of years to make more money and build more wealth. And, you know, the simplest way to do that is just buy and hold. Buy quality, buy and hold. Don't chase strength, buy weakness. We're getting some weakness now. I think we're going to get more in the next week or two. Those are going to be times to buy.
Well, it is good to hear you cheerful. I think if we went back in the archives and listened to some of the older interviews, I was probably quite depressed when I got off the phone with you. But to your credit, you were spot on when a lot of people in the business were being permabulls, and that would not have been the best thing to be telling your subscribers. I hope I can mention this. I saw, you know, as one of your subscribers that you're launching a new service. The service is only for a specific group of people, people who are interested in doing private placements. They have to be accredited investors, so meet the threshold of $1 million+ kind of net worth. But, you know, that's a completely different angle. It's the angle that I tend to approach the mining space from, not necessarily as actionable on trading the pullbacks because you're under things like 4-month holds or you have bigger positions sometimes and things that aren't as liquid. I just wanted to let you discuss kind of your thought process on this new service. I'm very excited to watch you launch that.
Oh, well, thank you for the free plug. Yeah, the new service is called the Daily Gold Elite. And if you're interested, you could send me an email, Jordan@thedailygold. And just looking at a small group of people, and we're going to participate in private placements and those types of things. And also I'm offering consulting for people who join that service. But I do want to note nothing is going to change in my regular service. I'm still devoting the same amount of time and manpower. I'm seeking out and getting more help, more resources so that I can do everything that I'm doing and continue to do it for the regular newsletter, which I think is a great fit for everyone. The elite service, I mean, that's if you're a high net worth investor and you're looking for more speculative opportunities. you can send me an email on that. And I thank you for allowing me to pitch that, Colin.
Excellent. All right. Well, Jordan, takeaways from this interview, as far as I'm concerned, is you accurately called a pullback about a week and a half ago. That certainly started to play out. Your thought process is we had a pretty violent sell-off, and if past is prologue, then these sell-offs can last for a month, 2 months, maybe even more, but most of the damage is probably already done. Anything else to add to that for our listeners?
Yeah, I'd just clarify a little bit on what you said. Corrections are a function of price and time, and a lot of times in these sharp corrections in precious metal stocks, what you get is the price damage is basically the worst over the first couple weeks. So as far as the buying opportunity that's coming, it might not be the only buy opportunity in the next couple months, but you're going to see some good entry points, I think, over the next week or two. And look, you got to focus on individual companies because not every individual company is going to follow the sector. But I will say for the sector, Colin, typically in these corrections, again, most of the damage is done the first couple of weeks. Then the correction can chop around for a couple months. So we're getting a good buying opportunity as far as low prices, but that doesn't necessarily mean a month or two from now we're going to be making new highs and you're racing higher. It just means most of the damage is going to be done very quickly, and you can get a good entry point. But just be wary that the sector could chop around for a couple months.
All right, perfect. Well, Jordan, thanks for coming back on the program. Always fun doing this with you. And we'll try to catch up when things start moving up in the positive direction again. It's just a lot of fun when that happens, and can't wait for the next leg up.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Guests on this show are not compensated for their appearance. Listeners are urged to educate themselves and make their own decisions. Do not base any investment decisions on the information contained. To view our full disclaimer, please visit our website.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?